Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
How are you all tonight? Thank you, Chano. Your hair looks good. I feel like we already know each other, so I don't need to do a whole introduction, but for those of you who are new, have been involved here at the church for 17 years, Pastor Bill and Sandy were instrumental in my wife, who's also here, Beth, in our lives. I grew up as a PK kid, not living for God, and God used Pastor Bill and this church and Chris and friends that we have today, not you, Harold, to help get us, love Harold, our lives back on track with God. It's just such a great environment coming up in the church and then not wanting to have anything to do with it. So I'm forever grateful for this place, for Pastor Bill, Sandy, and you all for giving us a place to get our life back on track with God. And I know there's a lot of you in this room, Mark Jackson, that can say the same thing. So good to see your all's faces. And I'm honored to be able to bring the word tonight. I'm going to do my best to communicate something I think God's put on my heart and something that God started stirring in me. And it's probably one of the more challenging words I feel like I've had to put together for some reason. So God brought this verse up. It's not going to be on the screen, but this is my prayer for us tonight. It's Ezekiel 36, 26, and it says, "I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart." And that's all that I ask tonight, is that the Holy Spirit will help our hearts be responsive to what he wants to say tonight. Earlier this year, Pastor Bill gave us a word of revival, deliverance, and abundance. And I feel like the enemy has come in and has created a load of distraction around us to take our eyes off of a word that the leader of this church and something that Beth and I held on to and what we were going through in our lives of revival and deliverance and abundance. And he talked about the order of those things. And not just because it's close to the middle of the year, but I kind of want to talk maybe into the subject of deliverance a little bit. And I know it feels like that word is maybe lost in the distance and the chaos of this year, but we serve a God who is the God of the beginning and the end, and this year's not over yet. He's the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He was in what we went through yesterday. He got here today before we did and knew everything that we needed to get through what we are going through right now, and he's going to be in our tomorrow, so we don't have to worry about what 2020 in the fall or the winter brings or what 2021 brings, because he already knows everything that we have need of, and he wants to get that information to us. And that is the space that I want to talk in tonight, is this place that we might be called deliverance. When the Israelites were coming out of the wilderness, it was funny, I was just preparing this message earlier this year. I preached a message on the wilderness, and I didn't want to talk about the wilderness because I already did that, and I feel like God kept drawing me back to it, so I'm going to kick off with it again. But in Numbers chapter 4, forgive me, they're coming through the wilderness. And in their moment of deliverance, they get distracted by what's going on in their surroundings. And they put their eyes more on the circumstances rather than the promised land, or shall I say, the abundance that God was leading them to. And they begin to focus on the circumstance. They begin to think about the enemies that they had. Caleb came back and said, "Hey, let's go take the land. It's time for us." But 10 people, the majority, came back and said, "No, we can't beat them." So doubt and unbelief hit them. It led to disobedience. And Jesus or God came back and said, "Because of this, you will never experience the promised land." Moses didn't even get to go. They were in the wilderness for 40 years. They got distracted in the moment of deliverance because deliverance didn't look like what they thought it was going to look like. It didn't feel like what they thought it was going to feel like. But in the wilderness, even though it was not God's original plan, 14 days was more like his number, he allowed the Israelites to begin to build systems and structure, how to lead people. Remember, Moses had to appoint leaders of tens and hundreds and fifties. They begin to develop a structure so when they got to the promised land, they could sustain, they would be ready. He could have done it without it, but they screwed that up. And so here we are in this place of deliverance, the year 2020, that didn't sneak up on God. He knows exactly what you're going through, but it's a time of stretching. I originally sent my notes in and I labeled this release and I changed it about an hour or two ago to the word stretch. I don't even know if I care to have a title to the message, but if there's going to be a theme, we're going to talk a little bit about stretching. It didn't look like what they wanted to experience. And I want to pick up in Luke chapter 5, verse 36. God wants to lead us to abundance still. My goal tonight is to bring that word that we had this year back to the center stage of our minds and our eyes and our vision for what God wants to do in our lives. We're still on our way to abundance, but there's going to be some stretching that's involved. And this word may be affirmation for what you've been through. It may be comforting. It may be corrective. But I know this, that beyond the words that I'm going to speak, the Holy Spirit is going to be able to speak to your heart and make this applicable and specific to you in ways that I could never do. And so with that understanding, let's dive into Luke chapter 5, verse 36. And I'm going to read from the Passion Translation. A quick note on just translations. I picked a couple verses tonight that might be New Living and a couple that might be the Passion. I like the New King James because it's word for word. And I think we need to be careful about what things that we read. But this articulates it very well. I always bring my studies back to a word for word translation just to make sure it's not too far off. Just wanted to make that comment. I like the Passion Translation. That's why I'm using it. But for whatever reason, I said it. Jesus, critics questioned him. We get questioned a lot. John the prophet is known for leading his disciples to frequently fast and pray. As the religious leaders of the land, we do the same. Why do you and your disciples spend most of your time feasting at banquets? Woo-woo. I feel like Chris is here, and for some reason just looks like one of Jesus' young disciples, because these guys were like 17, 18 years old. And I feel like, I wasn't planning to say this, but just you're here. If that was us rolling with Jesus, I'd feel like you would look over his shoulder and be like, we like to eat. why do you exactly how you're dressed with your hat on backwards. You spend most of the time feasting at banquets. Jesus replied, should you make the sons of the bridal chamber fast while celebrating with the bridegroom? But when the bridegroom is taken away from them, then you will see them fasting. And he gave them this illustration. Everybody say illustration. Thank you. No one rips up a new garment to make patches for an old worn out one. If you tear up the new to make a patch for the old, it will not match the old garment. And who pours new wine into old wineskin? If someone did, the old wineskin would burst and the new wine would be lost. The new wine must always be poured into new wineskins. Yet you say the old ways are better. And you refuse to even taste the new thing that I bring. Jesus was trying to help them understand the game has just changed. The Son of God is on the earth, and I'm bringing in a new covenant, and you guys can't even wrap your mind around it. And what I'm bringing in doesn't even fit into your systems and structure. It doesn't even work. You can't even comprehend it. So much so, I can't bring it into the system. We completely have to disrupt everything. There was a new era of ministry coming, a new era of how God was going to interact with humanity on its way. Wineskin was a structure that farmers, I don't know enough about all of that, but let's call them a farmer, they would put wine into that wineskin. It's a structure. It represents a mindset or a system that was used. So this new wine, the new covenant, that comes with the seal and the gift of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit of power, love, and a sound mind, which God put in us, was coming to the earth. So in my studies for this, I learned a little bit about new wine. Wine fragments, they use the word agitate, which was a fun word. I've not like used that a lot lately, and I forgot about that word existing. But agitate, it expands. So the farmer has to put it in a wineskin that is oiled, and it's flexible, it's stretchy, it's pliable, because when that wine goes in, it begins to ferment, it expands, it starts moving around. But if it goes into a wineskin that is dry and it's brittle and it's old and it holds wine, the old wine, it will break, and the old wineskin is broken and the new wine is even lost. So everything's a waste. So Jesus is using this illustration saying, you are old wine. What's interesting right here in the Luke chapter 5, is he's in the process of building his church. He's building his disciples, which is what he's going to pour his new wine into. That's us. 1 Corinthians chapter 3:16 says his church is the structure that God put his Spirit in. A spirit of power, spirit of love, and a sound mind, 2 Timothy. Listen to what Jesus told his disciples. Let's keep building this out. John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. This is New Living Translation. There is so much more. Everybody say more. I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. I believe this is not only something that Jesus told his disciples, but what he's telling you right now. There's so much more I want to tell you. It's not like we got saved and we're just living this life. God's living this life with us. He's constantly, actively wanting to download new things to us. There's so much more he wants to tell you. There's so much more he wants to give to you and to provide for you. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. These are oldies but goodies. He will tell you about the future. How awesome is that? He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. We now have a direct pipeline, a direct download. That new wine is constantly being poured out. We have access to it all the time. New power, new wine, all the time. He ushered in that new covenant. This is what's available to us. He teaches us. He shows us things to come. He tells us about our future. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, it talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit. If you've been in this church long enough, you've heard pastors say that it literally means be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and continually be led by the Holy Spirit. Continually. It's a continued process. There is more that he wants to tell you. There's more that he wants to speak to you. There's more that he wants to do you in you and through you. The Holy Spirit wants to teach you new revelations. He wants to give you new vision. He wants to give you new business strategies and structures that's going to help you receive the abundance that he has. You are the wineskin. But if we don't prepare the wineskins to receive the new wine, God doesn't want to pour it out. He does not want to waste the wine. We have to get ourselves ready to be moldable, to be pliable, to receive all that God has for us. There's a stretching that is required. There's growth that's required. Jesus even grew. In Luke 2:52, it says he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Growth requires work. It requires a little bit of effort. It requires an intentionality by our part to seek God. God, what do you need from me? What changes do you want me to make? Am I even open? Am I even willing to taste? Just to taste. To hear from him, to listen to the new thing that he might want to do. Am I willing to taste it? The new thing that God wants to do in your life, it doesn't work in the old. There's a new structure. There's new systems that have to be worked out. The way that Beth and I parented our kids when they were, they're still pretty young. They're 9 and 11. 12, 11, should be 12. 9 and 11 is different than how maybe we parented them 7, 8 years ago. And Scott and Vanessa, you can probably help educate us that in 5 years, we're going to probably parent them maybe a little bit different. There's different things. There's different seasons that we go through. And so the way we did things 10 years ago is not the way that we can do things now. Old mindset, I'm going to say it this way. Old mindsets can't handle the abundance God wants to pour out in your life. We get wired a certain way, and then God's trying to do something new, and it just doesn't fit. And it's a continual process that he gets to lead us in. We got to prepare ourselves. And sometimes it takes sacrifice. I think, again, the hearts are sitting right here. And I don't know who got paid $15 for moving, but I have a feeling that it came from down here somewhere potentially. I didn't get paid for moving. But from Friday afternoon, starting at 1, until Sunday at 7, we were either helping the hearts or the Bedells move. And mainly the Bedells. But it was like packing and unpacking, and Beth, and I know Rebecca, like so many people rallied around these two families. And if you've ever moved, you understand what you go through. And it's like, what are we going to get rid of and what are we going to keep? And there's this sacrifice in even preparing your home to sell. You got to get the carpet replaced if you need to. Just all those things. You got to get financing in order and inspections. There's all this work, all this preparation goes into it. And then you get to close the door of the truck and you're moved in. And there's this feeling of all that work, all that preparation, all that stretching that was required to get the money right, get the money in order. Now we've received the new wine. I don't know, that's a very materialistic cliche example, but it works. So what do you need to let go of? That is your choice. What mindsets do we want to hold on to versus what mindsets does God want us to let go? Sometimes what holds us back is the very thing that we're holding on to. We're trying to move forward into abundance, but just like the Israelites, they want to go back to what was familiar because they don't like the discomfort of deliverance. We want to go back to bondage because it felt safe and it felt secure. We don't like the uncertainty that deliverance puts us into. Trusting God when we don't understand what's going on. I think a lot of times we think letting go is like a failure. Loss is a failure. Pruning back is a failure. And it's not. This is how the kingdom works. Chano just got done talking about the tithe. We give away something for the rest of it to be blessed, and even more so that God may give back good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. God prunes those that produce fruit. We forgive other people, and then God promises to forgive us. It's bass ackwards in the kingdom, but in the world, we look at it, and we think we got to hold back. We got to hold on. And God's saying, let go and release because I've got new wine that I want to give you. The moment you let go, my provision's already there. And I don't want tonight to be super spiritual because I think, not I think, I know. More so what I'm talking about, for those that you are business owners or you lead people, some of the new wine is new business strategy. It's new systems, it's new structure, it's new flow charts and organization charts that are going to help your organization be ready for abundance. Without telling the details in the story, I can tell you in the last 5 years, we've made some structural changes in our organization and we're in the best cash financial position we've ever been in 51 years. And it looks smaller than it did 5 years ago to the eye. Change the structure. Change the systems. God wants to pour out new wine. What does that mean for you? This is why I said the Holy Spirit will speak and make this applicable and specific to you more than I can ever, because I don't know every situation that's going on. It might be parenting. It might be how you relate to your spouse. It might be your business. Pastor Bill, it might be the church. I don't know, but I'm believing that God's going to speak through us because I'm holding on to that word that we're in a place of deliverance and we're going to abundance. This year, you may feel like things have been cut back, and maybe it's God delivering you and stretching you. You're in the moment of deliverance, and in a year from now, you're going to turn around and go, huh, it's not how I thought that would have happened. But the little stretching, the little changes right now are setting you up for abundance. Don't be distracted by the circumstances. You're on your way to abundance. That's God's will, his desire for you. Listen to, let's go Matthew chapter 16, another oldie but a goodie. Disciples had to let go of Jesus, speaking of letting go of stuff. Peter didn't like the news. You guys are familiar with the story, but we're going to read it, Matthew 16, 23 through 25. Peter took him aside to correct him privately. He reprimanded Jesus over and over, saying to him, God forbid, master, spare yourself. You must neither let this happen to you. Jesus turned to Peter and said, get out of my way, you Satan. That is crazy. You're an offense to me because, that almost got my funny bone, hold on. You're an offense to me because your thoughts are only filled with man's viewpoints and not with the ways of God. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if you truly want to follow me, you should at once completely reject and disown your life. That's pretty strong. And you must be willing to share my cross and experience it as your own as you continually, everybody say continually, I'm usually not one of those preachers, but it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun making people say stuff. I think it's because my kids don't listen, so I got to go somewhere to get it. They do listen. We have good kids. I don't know why I just want to laugh at nothing. It's like, as you can continually surrender to my ways. For if you choose self-sacrifice and lose your lives for my glory, you will continually discover true life. Continually surrender to my ways, continually discover true life. It's a constant outflow of the new wine. We turn in the old wine, he gives us new wine. The new wine, the old wine is the cost of the new wine. Whatever you're holding on to, when you give that up, bam, he's got something new for you. It's a constant divine flow from heaven. It continually helps us to discover true life. But if you choose to keep your lives for yourselves, you will forfeit what you try to keep. Here's a takeaway. Get out of God's way. What areas of my life might I be in God's way? What changes do I need to make to be ready for the new wine that God wants to pour out? Surrender to his new way. New challenges in today's world require new vision. There's new opportunities. There's new things that God wants to do with you. The vision that you had yesterday may not work for what's needed to today. Are we willing to change? Are we willing to be that new wineskin that's stretchable, that's moldable, that's pliable? Are we willing to take things that we've held onto and we've called sacred and say, God, I'm going to put that out here and I'm going to ask, do you want me to change that? And it's not us conforming to the world, because Jesus, remember, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's already out there. We're just waiting for us to get there and then tell us, this is what we need to do on the earth today. You are my instrument, so I'm going to pour out the new wine. I'm going to pour out the new vision. I'm going to pour out the new power for what the world needs today, because I have designed you to house my wine to go impact the world around you. So we have to be ready to change. New is moving all the time. It's expanding all the time. Is it his way or is it our way? We continually surrender to his way. What you see as your present, God may see as your past. And the only way to know that is by tuning into the Holy Spirit. The Bible says this, that the spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord. The candle of the Lord is the spirit of man, excuse me. That's how he directs us. His spirit bears witness with our spirit. When God begins to speak to your spirit, you're a spirit being. You're created in the image of God. When he begins to speak to you, something will leap in your spirit. That's that candle being lit. Oh, remember when John and Jesus were in the bellies of their mother and they came and John leapt? I don't know, I always equate the two. But when God starts speaking to you, man, you're going to leap. Something's going to start leaping inside of you. That's that candle. You start following that candle. Then does that line up with his word? It's a lamp unto our feet, and it's a light unto our path. We got to be in tune with what God wants to do. Are we moldable, and are we pliable for what he wants to do? Letting go of the old is not you being thrown out. For those of you that might be further along in years in here, I think that's a deception of the enemy. That's not what this is talking about. God is not finished with you yet. You have poured out, and you have poured out, and you have poured out. And God wants to pour new back in you. He wants to use you. One of the staple verses of this church is Psalms 92:13. It says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of their God. And it keeps going. Even in old age, they'll be fresh and flourishing. You're not done. God wants to pour out new wine in you. He's just asking for you to be moldable and pliable. What was done yesterday may not need to be done today. And that doesn't mean that it equates to just old people. That's young people too. God's always wanting to do something new. It doesn't equate to age. It equates to our heart position and pliability before the Lord. We've got to get ready. How do we do that? I'm just going to make one simple point, and I might roll through some of these notes, whoever's running the screen, but make yourself available. Just make yourself available. Are you available to God? How do we do that? Number one, don't disqualify yourself. And number two, don't overqualify yourself. Don't disqualify and don't overqualify. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, whom in the form of God did not consider robbery to be equal with God. This is Philippians chapter 2. That's our position. That's another staple verse here. We're equal with God. But here's what Paul said. He didn't say that was something that he clung to, because it continues. But he made himself of no reputation. He humbled himself and came in the form of a man, died on the cross. Humble confidence, something we try to instill in our kids. Humble confidence, confident. I know who I am. I know where I'm seated. I'm eye to eye with God. It's not me who live, but it's Christ in me. Humble confidence. Make yourself available. Don't overqualify, don't underqualify. God gives his grace to the humble. Here's a couple of signs. This isn't necessarily scriptural, so if you don't like what I say here, just throw it out. But a couple practical things that I wrote down that I feel like communicate when God's bringing something inside of you to say, hey, I want to do something new. And I take this from some personal experience, and maybe we could attach a Bible story to it. I'm unsatisfied. I'm irritated. Is God wanting to get something new? Is he going to use that to say, hey, yeah, I know, I've been trying to get your attention. You're irritated because you won't listen. If what is around you is dying, things feel stale or stagnant, maybe discomfort or challenged in an area of your life, you're being challenged, maybe it could be a good thing. Someone's challenged you, say, hey, man, this is a lovingly correction. A passion or a compelling for something, your heart breaks for something, a stirring inside of you. I think about the story of Nehemiah when he caught news that his people and the walls of Jerusalem, the city was destroyed. The Bible says that he fell to his knees and began to weep. His heart was broken. He was stirred. A strong desire started in the inside of him, wanting to go back and to do something to help his people. And for 3 months, he prayed. There was 3 months that went by from the moment that he found that news to the moment where he had an opportunity with the king. And the king said, Nehemiah, why are you so sad? And he begins to tell him the story why. The king ends up granting him permission to go and to help his people. But not only do I believe that Nehemiah prayed, he prepared himself for the new wine, the new purpose, the new calling that God was going to lead him to. Because in that moment, he had the wits to be able to ask that king for a letter to cross the territories and for permission to use timber from his forests. He was just there doing his job. But here's the thing, Nehemiah had to leave the presence of the king to go and fulfill his calling. He had to leave a place of authority. He was in the inner circle. He was a place of comfort. He had connections. But he had to take a step out. And I'm not telling you to leave your job or anything like that. I'm definitely not telling you to leave your spouse. Don't let any of this let go message be translated the wrong way. I'm going to qualify and clarify that real quick. That guy on the microphone told me I could leave you. that distracted me. He had to leave the comfort of where he was to go and fulfill his calling. He allowed God to stretch him. And here's what's interesting. Instead of serving the king wine, he allowed the King of Kings to serve him a new wine, a new purpose, a new power, a new calling. And we know the story. He goes on to be the governor of the people. There was a stirring that took place in him. Something that began to compel him to move forward. He was ready for the new wine, but there's another lesson in this story. That king could have held on to Nehemiah. And if you're a leader in here, I've been through this. You manage or lead a business at any level. Sometimes we have to let people go. Sunday morning, we prayed for Pastor Jeremy and Nina to go to Podunkville, Missouri, Van Buren. They were released, but not really. Like, we already FaceTimed today. but we had to let him go. The king, you can, I can, and I don't want to be somebody that gets in the way and stops the new wine from flowing into somebody else. Because God is no respecter of persons. As soon as somebody is released and a new wine flows in them, there's going to be a new wine that flows in you. He's not going to miss a beat. He was already there. He was already in the moment. I don't want to be that person that holds somebody else back. I want to be that person that gets good at releasing and allowing the new wine that God wants to do in their life to go, because I want to be somebody that is ready to receive the new wine that God has for me. This requires, if we could preach on how to hear and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, we could do that. It requires that. But I don't know what all of that means for you specifically. It could be in your relationships, it could be in your business, but I know this, God wants to make it very applicable to you. He's going to make it very specific to you. And I pray that you continue to seek him on this, that your heart is responsive, and anything that I messed up or didn't communicate clearly becomes clear. Because I really believe that we're in a place of deliverance right now. It doesn't look like anything we thought. But we're going to turn around, and the next thing you know, we're going to be sitting in abundance. Receive the stretching. Receive that stretching that God's doing in us right now. We've had to discover new ways to do church. We've had to discover, I run an international ministry. Try that on for size. We're being stretched. New wine. God's bringing something new. Did you know old wineskins can be made new? An old wineskin can be taken and it can be soaked in oil, and then they massage the oil into that leather. And they stretch it and they massage it and they soak it and they massage it and stretch it until it becomes stretchy again and moldable and pliable again. It can receive that new wine. Old wineskins represent us, young and old, who are brittle, who are set in our ways, who are sticky. But throughout Scripture, the oil is represented by the Holy Spirit, and there's a healing ointment in the Holy Spirit when we open our lives up to God and we say, God, what area of my life am I brittle in? What area of my life am I stagnant in that he promises to come in through the power of the Holy Spirit and to heal and to fill us new with fresh vision, with fresh power? I want that for me. And because we go to church together, and I guess we're in each other's lives, I want that for you. I definitely want that for the people that I know personally. Let's pray together. God, I just thank you, Father, for this opportunity tonight. God, I pray for your Holy Spirit, God, that teaches us, that shows us things to come. God, that lovingly corrects us. God, we just ask right now, as a church, as a people, as your people, as a body, God, that you show us areas in our life that we might be dry, that we might be brittle. And God, we ask that you reveal that to us. God, that you help us to walk through, that you hold our hand through those changes in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, the power, the anointing that we get to walk in, the power of love and a sound mind. God, I thank you for a sound mind for your people. God, that fear has no authority over their minds in the name of Jesus. Fear has no authority over their emotions. But God, a washing of your word creates a sound mind and a peace that surpasses all understanding in Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.